As I'm sure you're all aware, today is a big day. Today marks the 40th anniversary of St. John Paul II's encyclical letter, Salvifici Dolores. It was his great teaching on suffering. Salvifici Dolores, salvific suffering, on the Christian meaning of human suffering. And the heart of the teaching that he holds up is that Jesus completely changed and transformed what suffering is. He completely transformed what suffering is. Before Jesus, suffering always pushed one away from God. That suffering was the thing that pushed one away from God. And now with Jesus, God, who came to enter into our suffering, suffering is that which draws us closer to God. Contrast the first reading from Leviticus and our gospel with a leper. In the Old Testament, someone contracts leprosy. What happens to you? What do we hear? You contract leprosy, you're cut off and you're pushed out of the community for good reason. That you're isolated and you're cut off. That you're considered cursed, as all human illness and such, and even death, is part of the curse of our sin. Jesus in the gospel, he comes, and this leper comes to him, and Jesus reaches out, and he touches him, and he heals him. Before Jesus, death, the end of all suffering, the end of all disease, the end of all pain, death, what happened after that? Even further separation from God, because without Jesus, there is no salvation. One died and they were separated from God. They were even further separated because in creation, there's still, even after the fall, the realm of natural grace, just natural human life, creation. When one died, they were deprived even of that, and now there was just death and separation from God. But now, because of Jesus, disease, suffering, pain, and even death, when we die in the state of salvific grace, the life of God, what does that do? It draws us closer to God, into his very life, into heaven. Jesus completely transformed what suffering is. It's incredible that Jesus' passion, what John Paul II said he did in this, was that he forever linked suffering to love. That now our suffering, your suffering, becomes specifically the entry point, the doorway into love, through which God is able to enter into your own heart, into your own life, and through which we're able to enter into God himself. Suffering is now the entry point of love itself, of God itself. What does the love of God look like? It's that God has entered into our suffering. Compassion. He has come to suffer with us. He has come to you in your suffering, and when you let him in to those places of greatest pain and suffering, it's there that one experiences the real love of God. And that suffering is not an illusion. Eastern religions like Buddhism, suffering is just an illusion. No! Suffering is the most real thing in this life, in this fallen world. It's very real. It's real, real. But what's even more real than that is that Jesus comes and he transforms specifically what it is. That now it becomes this place where we experience the love of God. And it's the place that we experience truly what love of neighbor is. Compassion, entering into the sufferings of others. It's easy to love others when it doesn't cost us anything, doesn't it? I'm a billionaire in that sense. But love is real for another person when you actually enter into their suffering and you carry it with them, you sit there with them in the midst of it. Because God is with you and with them. Jesus, source of all compassion, pure, unbounded love thou art. Come to us in your salvation. Enter every trembling heart. Suffering in our life is also the greatest teacher we have. It's the greatest teacher that you have because it teaches you about the meaning of life, the meaning of death. It teaches you what love is and how to love. Wednesday is also another big day, isn't it? It's a day of immense love. Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, and we enter into the season of Lent. And I'm really glad it begins this year on Valentine's Day. I think it's the best. Why? Because what is the season of Lent all about? It's when we freely choose to enter into suffering. Suffering, which was the great curse of sin, now it's something that we freely choose to enter into suffering, specifically the sufferings of Jesus in his prayer, his fasting, and his giving, even unto giving of himself. And why do we do this? Why do we make all these sacrifices for Lent? For one reason, for love. Because in doing this, we're drawn closer to Jesus. We're drawn closer to him in the midst of the sufferings. And so I want to give you two just points of encouragement. One is you prepare for Lent. It's good to like think before Ash Wednesday, as I'm sure many of you, all of you have been doing, of what you want to do for Lent. I want to give you a point of encouragement with that and a point of encouragement throughout all of Lent. First, as you're preparing for Lent, ask Jesus what he wants you to do. We all have our go-tos. Like every year I give up chocolate. Every year I decide I'm going to take cold showers. Every year I give up alcohol. Those are good. That's great. But come before Jesus and ask him, is this what you want me to do this year? Hold it up to him in prayer. And then a point of encouragement throughout all of Lent, ask Jesus that whatever you're doing, that what it's doing is killing your pride. That any sacrifice, any additional prayer, what it's meant to do is to kill our pride so that humility, like the ashes we receive upon our head, you are dust and into dust you shall return, that humility and love might grow in us. Which is a beautiful thing because that means you can just epically fail and just have continuous failure all throughout your Lent in what you've taken on. And if you don't quit in the midst of it, that can be something which brings you closer to Jesus than anything else. That can bring you closer to Jesus than if you have a Lent in which, man, you just kill it. You're just sailing and you lose 10 pounds and all these great things. Yeah, who cares? If it swells you up in pride and your own sense of self-sufficiency, wow, I was really great this Lent. No, that's actually, it's a crappy Lent. If your pride grows in it, that's the complete opposite of what Lent is meant to do. But instead, if one enters into Lent, and even if there's great suffering in the midst of its struggle, even a bunch of failure, that you remain with Jesus in the midst of it, and you grow in real humility, in real love, recognizing, wow, I really need Jesus. I'm more of a mess than I thought. Great. That's when he's able to really begin working in us. So those two points, and then just a couple specific things in our parish during Lent. A couple of them I had in the bulletin. One I did not because it wasn't put together yet, finalized. The first is Fridays during Lent here in the parish from 3 to 6 p.m. there'll be confessions during that time, as we had in Advent. It was incredible during those hours during Advent. I already shared with you, people who had been away from the sacrament for like half a century, followed immediately by someone who had been away for like 15 years, and then someone for 20, someone for 5. It was incredible. And so every Friday during Lent, there'll be confessions available here in the church from 3 to 6 p.m. And then as well, during that same time, we want to be able to offer adoration, to have extra adoration hours here in the church from 3 to 6 p.m. So in the bulletin, I'd asked, if you're able to take even one of the hours, or if you're able to take, hey, I can do the 4 p.m. hour every Friday, or these Fridays but not this one, reach out to the parish office and let us know. So one-third of the hours are filled. But even if you're able to take one of those hours of adoration, to come and just to sit and just to be with Jesus, you don't have to do anything. That's the beauty of adoration especially. You can just sit there, and he's the one who does the work, not you. Reach out to the parish office so we can fill those hours, because we do have to have them filled if we're going to have adoration during that time. And 7 p.m. then on Fridays as well, the deacons will be leading us in the Stations of the Cross, in which it's this ancient tradition in which, quite literally, we follow the stations and we enter into these very specific sufferings of Jesus, so that when Easter comes, we can enter more deeply into his glory and resurrection as well. And I ask you during this time of Lent, especially in adoration and in your own prayers, to join me in my main intention for Lent in my own prayer, is that people in your family and people in our parish who have fallen away from their faith for whatever reason, that they might come back and experience the mercy of God, the love of God. People who feel in their own way like they're lepers and they don't belong in the church, that God's grace might bring them back, both in our parish and in your families. And lastly, in Advent, the four parishes in town, we had together an Advent mission. In Lent, together the four parishes again are going to have a Lenten healing service. A healing service which is going to be on Friday, March 22nd. It's that last Friday before Palm Sunday, and it'll be at Queen of Peace at 6:30. I'll give you more information as we get closer. But this is one in which Father Brian Gross, he's been leading throughout our diocese and different places in the country healing services. And there's nowhere that where I've seen the truth that God, through Jesus, still heals. And that he's real. And that his power is real. And so for anyone suffering from physical ailments, cancer, physical pain, pain spiritually, mentally, to come and to receive Jesus' healing during that time. I want to close with our own sufferings in mind, and at the doorstep of Lent, a quote from John Paul II's Salvifici Dolores. But before we do, I want to just take a moment. Just call to your own mind some of the greatest sufferings that you have in your own heart now, that we can hold them up to Jesus in this prayer. Human suffering has reached its culmination in the Passion of Christ, and at the same time is entered a completely new dimension and a new order. It has been linked to love, to that love which creates good, drawing it out by means of suffering. Just as the supreme good of the redemption of the world was drawn from the cross of Christ, each one of us is also called to share in that suffering through which the redemption was accomplished. We are called to share in that suffering through which all human suffering has been redeemed. Suffering is present in the world in order to release love.